Hello and welcome to Property Roundup here on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on activity on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging. This show is sponsored by daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Tommy Carmody of Tommy Carmody's Property House in Ardfert, North Kerry. Tommy, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Carol. Thank you.
Tommy, I probably know more about the North Kerry market than I do of some of the larger markets because of your very active use and your engagement on social media, which we love to see. So first of all, well done for that.
Thank you. It's great.
Well, it's great to always know what properties are coming on the market and to get a handle on the rental trends. But last week, some of your posts really caught my attention because there's some really interesting things and maybe unexpected things happening across North Kerry, which we're going to get on to. But first of all, from your office in Ardfert, what geographic areas across North Kerry, or do you go into County Limerick as well?
I have dealings in Glynn and at A, again, as mentioned earlier, just with a corporate lets, which I didn't envisage going out there, but home offices in Ardfert, looking after predominantly Tralee, Fianna, Ballyheigh, would like a little bit more in Ardfert actually, but yeah, North Kerry in general. But we still look after, or I still look after existing clients in Wicklow and Dublin from my time up there as well. So plenty of travel, yeah.
Very good. Well, look, let's get the Wicklow and Dublin out of the way first. How are you managing that?
Easy enough, actually. So with my model, I kind of, I suppose, base my model on Siobhan Lynham of Lynham Auctioneers from when I used to look after. So it's look after a certain number of clients as opposed to a certain number of properties and always be available for people. But let's say if I'm going up and down to Dublin, you can do that in one day. If there's a viewing, you can do it. If there's inspections, you can cover off North Dublin, very handy, in one morning, allow a little bit of time slot for going from one to the next. It's easy, well used to it, yeah.
There'd be a very big difference between Ballantyre and Ballyheigh. So
there will be, yeah.
Talk to us about, you know, what's happening in the local marketplace. Let's focus on the residential sales market first. First of all, and is there any new homes development around North Kerry?
Let's say there is new homes planned, going through planning. So there's a few different planning applications in Tralee. Unfortunately, there was a large one there, I think, for about 250. It's appealed, gone to Bord Pleanála, I believe, but ultimately it will be granted. So that'll be great. And even from talking to people who are looking to downsize in the area, they're aware of what's coming down the line. Now, in ways, it might be hampering the release of those properties going for sale because they want to see what will the finished product be like or get a little bit more of a feel for it around pricing and stuff like that. But yeah, hopefully, no, it'll go through from on Bord Pleanála. There's another large scale one down by the Horn Centre where we would have sold the middle site off market actually. So again, that's going through planning. I believe that might be social and affordable, which would be great as well. It'll free up a lot of rental stock. So people might move into those social and affordable homes as opposed to being in the private market on the HAP or the RAS or whatever. Yeah. And it would be great for rents because rents have gone bananas in even in the last 6 months. But yeah.
Yeah.
Since I set up now in 3 years ago, I think, rents, I'd say you could have gotten a two-bed apartment for 850 3 years ago. It would have been lovely. They're up around 40 now. So it's not too far off Dublin.
That's a crazy jump though in 3 months or sorry in 3 years really. But look, there's a couple of things in what you've said there that I'd like to kind of break down. So you know, when you don't have a lot of new stock in the marketplace, you know, it makes the competition for existing stock really heightened. And you know, whether new stock is coming available for social and affordable housing or for the private rented sector, or indeed for the private sales. In any event, any new stock that's coming to the market is welcome because it takes pressure off existing stock. But in terms of the existing stock, You touched on one there, people who might be willing to downsize of the property owners that you're going in to meet and maybe valuing their homes who are considering selling. What's the profile of people that you're meeting there in terms of potential sellers?
Potential sellers there. It's mainly where kids have either grown up, gone off to college, or more recent have gone off to Australia or whatever. The homes are too big. Even my own parents would have a house. Are they looking to downsize? Probably, but there's very little there for people to move into as well. Could there be nice developments and stuff like that, you know? But yeah, out in the country especially, it's lovely out here. But let's say people do find this, you know, they don't want to be getting in the car every day, whether to go to church, go to the pub or whatever. But yeah, it's mainly for kind of quality of life. And yeah, they don't need the bigger homes. And it'd be great if they could get a house that they want, or a modern two-bed apartment. Or yeah, there's massive demand as well from going out. People are always asking, "Oh, do you have any bungalows? We need bungalows." They're all planning ahead as well. You know, let's say there was a house there in Carsley, they'll put their house on the market once I can find a bungalow with a good bathroom where they'll be able to put in a disability bathroom. They're thinking down the line, and there's a need for every type of home. But yeah.
Yeah, no.
Single level homes are required as well.
I think that's something we've done poorly in the past. We haven't really planned for a whole of life homes, and that's causing a problem now. But something I'm particularly interested in that you might have maybe a unique perspective on here is when we talk about downsizing, one of the things we're seeing in the urban area is that the importance of people keeping people within their community so they're still within walking distance of the same neighborhood facilities and friends and family that they might have been previously. In the rural, in the we're used to getting in the car to travel to places. We don't have the luxury ever of things within walking distance. It's just one of the trade-offs of rural life. And I mean, you touched on it there. You're in a particularly beautiful and scenic area. Most people would be familiar with Ard Firth, maybe driving from Tralee out to Banna Beach or out to Ballyheigue and the old Kerry Head. So people would be familiar and they'd know that it's a particularly beautiful scenic area in North Kerry, and maybe one that has been a little bit left behind by modern tourism in recent decades. It probably would have had a lot of domestic tourism 30, 40 years ago, and maybe fallen out of fashion somewhat,
Yes.
in terms of the tourism market. But for people who want to downsize in such rural locations, is their only choice to come into kind of the outskirts of Tralee or, to the outskirts of even the village centre in Ardfert?
I don't believe it is, because if you look at Ard Firth in the last year or two, there was a new social and affordable development. Fantastic homes. There's other sites in the area. If you could build it for social and affordable, you could actually build smaller units for people looking to downsize. You wouldn't need as many of them either, and that would free up, let's say, some larger farmhouses or country houses. But yeah, there's a pretty large scale development in Ardfert, so you could even do a micro version of that, and that would help. And it wouldn't. That development, for example, lovely stone finish on it, fits in beautifully, but it's off the main road. It's not distracting from mountain views, sea views, or anything like that. Yeah, it's tucked away, playing pictures around it, walk to the school, walk to the pub, walk to the restaurants, everything. Yeah, easily
Now,
done.
Tommy, I agree with you 100%, and I think that that sounds perfect for people who are in a rural setting looking to trade down, and the compromise there is that they go maybe to the outskirts of a rural village. However, new policy being kind of floated by government only in recent days is a tax. Plans to discourage new estates in remote areas, which would take in the outskirts of a village like that. So essentially, the proposals are that it would lead to either new taxes or levies on greenfield site developments outside of the real main built-up urban areas. So essentially, government policy is that they don't want one-off rural housing, but now they don't necessarily want these housing estates on the outskirts of villages. So that would mean that in time, anybody who's looking to relocate or downsize even from a rural area really would have no choice but to go as far as their main large urban centre, which in this case would be Tralee or potentially Listowel. Do you think that's something that the people you're talking to, would they consider that as an option?
I don't think they would because it's not necessarily a choice. So let's say you can say this is what's going to happen, but you have people there who've been looking to downsize for the last 6 or 7 years. They're waiting for something that they want and they deserve it, basically. They shouldn't say, do you know what, let's sell the big house and buy something that we're not happy with. So if they've waited 6 or 7 years, sure, they might as well wait for another 3 or 4 years until policy changes again. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
Yeah.
actually that's an interesting take on it because obviously we're coming into a very interesting 12 to 18 months in politics. We know that some of the policies will have to change, but I suppose I for one am absolutely concerned about the lack of advocacy around rural Ireland and development in rural Ireland. And in fact, the only developments that we're seeing across rural Ireland are for social and affordable. Actually, we're not seeing any for the private sector. And it raises a really big question around does, like, I think the recent referendum showed us that actually government does appear to be out of touch with maybe the demands for renters and home buyers at a very local and regional level, particularly in rural areas. But this disconnect, maybe the next government will address it. Who knows? But I suppose in the meantime, we need to deal with the reality that's there. So what's there at the moment are a lot of derelict and vacant homes. So are you seeing people from outside of the area, particularly since COVID, wanting to live, whether it's rent or buy, in the rural areas?
There is demand for it, but I think it was hyped up a bit as well during COVID. And a lot of people would have moved down initially, maybe just to rent. Let's say there's a place in Fianna now, for example, somebody working in IT has moved down there. They're sussing it out just to make sure that the partner who isn't from the area does like it. So they're renting there for 6 months. Now, they've already given the heads up that they do like it, they do want to buy in the area. So that's one example of that working. But in terms of mass numbers coming down, I don't think so. I think a lot of that was kind of headlines. And I've had tenants this year, there's three again in IT who have been called back to Dublin. So yeah,
Yeah.
they loved it down here. Rent was much cheaper, but they have been called back. And in one case, it was basically they had to be gone within a week. No, they still gave the notice, but they had to be back to base within a week.
That's really interesting. And actually there's kind of two different elements to that. So one is the employers, you know, somebody I spoke to, I interviewed recently on the show has said that companies have essentially said they are giving, you know, they're giving the remote working maybe another year before they're going to look at adopting long-term policies and to see what they are. So we're still in this little interim phase. And it's interesting you talk about people being called back to Dublin because we're dealing with two different issues here. One is the people who came to rural living or regional living during COVID. Will they stay by choice? And so if it's a choice thing, will they choose to stay or will they choose to go back to a main urban setting? That's one issue. The second issue is, will they have a choice or will they be called back by their employer? And that's kind of outside of their control. And we know that we're probably still a year off understanding where that's going to land in terms of remote working policies. So the people you're speaking to, have you met many people who tried this and said, no, this isn't for us, and they're heading back to Dublin or Greater Dublin area?
I've had people who have moved back to Dublin, but I haven't had anyone who's gotten homesick from Dublin or Cork or anything like that. Yeah, no, they like it. And yeah, let's say
Yeah.
Tralee there now, if you were to move down there, you can get everywhere within 5 minutes. You
Yeah.
can go to the bank, there's no queues. You can go to the shops, no queues. Drive out to the beaches in 10 minutes, you've seen it. Ballyhigh, Banagher, there's like 12 kilometers of beaches. You can get everywhere very handily. childcare costs, that does come up. People can't get over how cheap it is out here, or in Kerry compared to Dublin. And I have
Yeah.
sisters up there as well. So yeah, I'd
Yeah, no,
you'd feel for them. So yeah,
yeah.
the wage as well, if they can keep a Dublin wage, or even if they've to take a slight hit, yeah, it's
Right, but what impact is
we're
that having?
benefiting there.
So if you have buyers coming in on, particularly if they're on a joint Dublin wage, but even on one Dublin wage, what is that doing in terms of competing with home buyers in the locality who aren't on a Dublin wage, they're or on a Cork wage, or maybe even not even on a Limerick wage, that they're on a Tralee wage, and are they in a position to compete then in terms of the limited amount of first-time buyer suitable stock?
Well, first-time buyers down here, let's say it would be mainly for, let's say, three-bed semis, I suppose, but which would you could pick up an absolutely fantastic three-bed semi down here for 250 to 270. There was a big pickup there when the mortgage multiplier came in, that shot prices right up. But at the minute now as well, from talking to people, you can give them the heads up that there's a three bed semi coming up in Carsley, for example, that I have coming on there. And that one actually not coming on for 6 weeks. But from talking to people, it's going to benefit them because there's talk that the rates may well have come down by the time they close out. So if we release that in 6 weeks' time, say 2 to 3 weeks, maybe four before you go sale agreed, it'll be another 3 months before the sale closes, unfortunately, just with legal. So the rate should start coming down now. And I from talking to somebody else, well, there's a new mortgage provider and down there, I think they're trying to tie people into fixed rates now for 3 years, which might have been good going back, but it's actually unfair on the buyers to be trying to tie them in now, knowing that the interest rates are coming down.
Well, I suppose their point is probably that you don't know these things. We can only speculate that the interest rates are going to come down. But no, I agree with you. There's not a lot of
They're coming down.
transparency. There's not a lot of transparency across our mortgage rates. It's when you talk about that particular kind of three bed semi you have coming up in Carsley, when you know you have that, and obviously you would have dealt with, I presume, underbidders and disappointed would-be buyers. When you give them a heads up on a new property that's coming to the market over the next 6 weeks or thereabouts, what level of demand is there for a property like that?
A massive for this particular one. So this hasn't obviously gone on Daft or anything like that. It's just gone on social media. But let's say the first Saturday viewing that we're going to have, that's probably full up now because you'll only take a certain number to it. But that's from Instagram and Facebook and knowing the right people to call, knowing what their budget is. So if a buyer's meeting me, like some people might keep a lot to themselves. But to be honest, if they tell me more, I know exactly what I can get for them. And if they're on maybe 200, or but if they tell me that they actually do have 250, we can find them a house for 250. Like this will be a show house, in show house condition, all done up in the last couple of years. And that's what they're looking for, a house that you can move into and not have to be doing up bathrooms seems to be putting off everyone, doing up kitchens. People just they're. Prices aren't that bad, but they're, let's say, maybe watching programs or reading things or just thinking that everything is going to cost an absolute small fortune, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Yeah.
Now
But for
listen.
the moving, yeah, it's
We
good.
don't like to point fingers, but Dermot Bannon is entirely responsible for that. It's not a coincidence that they've appointed a QS to work alongside him.
That's
But
it. We've
no,
great architects down here as well. Yeah.
well, I think one of the fear around doing work is that people know there's a genuine shortage of builders and tradespeople, and that's a very real problem, that there is a shortage of tradespeople to be able to carry out the work. And I think sometimes first-time buyers can be daunted by the work, not understanding that, look, anything they buy would need to have this done in the next 15 years anyway. So it's just the choice. Do you do it now as you're moving in, or do you get one you like now, knowing that you'll do it in 15 years' time? Or, it's funny, I watch through people, even our own circle, you see there's definitely, from the time people move into their home, there's about a 12-year span before they start to get unhappy with the bathroom and the kitchen and everything else. And within 15 years, there's a new bathroom and kitchen and everything else going in because it reflects family changes and things like that as well. And I suppose that's not even considering the whole of life situation. You touched on something there that's pretty close to my heart, and actually, it's how I stay in touch with the interesting trends that you're talking about. Social media, as a rural estate agent, how important has kind of the digital marketing become to you?
Very important. So let's say before I set up business, I was never on social media actually. So I was a bit daunted. Might have had Bebo or something like that. But yeah, in terms of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all that, I was never on it. Had no time for it. And I think for the first 6 months, I don't think I was on it. But yeah, set up Facebook. Didn't really like that. Set up Instagram. That's flying at the minute. Yeah. So. Very
Sorry,
important.
Tommy, you're showing your age with Bebo now. That's a definitely a hark back to the past. But in terms of what social media is working, look, by the way, one social media platform is not going to do everybody, but I'm always interested in knowing kind of like I think that, and I won't lead you on this, but maybe you tell me, but I think there's some platforms that are better to showcase a house and talk to potential tenants or buyers, but there's a different platform and a different approach may be needed if you're trying to target sellers who might choose you as their listing agent. So maybe talk to us a little bit about kind of the differences there. Let's focus on, say, the buyers when you want to showcase a new home, whether it's renters or buyers, which platform works best for you there?
Instagram,
Okay.
I have Facebook as well, but yeah, that you might get, there might be more views and stuff on Facebook, but there'll be a lot more contact from Instagram, and I whether I've gotten a lot of business from Instagram. That's
And by the way, you bring up a really important point that I'd recommend to any estate agent who's kind of struggling to get to grips with social media and understanding there's a huge difference between views and contact views and what translates into either viewings for a home or even an inquiry to come value a home. So would you find Instagram is also your preferred for attracting sellers?
It would be Instagram, just hands down. Facebook, you can, when it comes to lettings, turns nasty real quick.
Really?
If the word landlord is put out or anything like that. So let's say one of my first posts was looking for properties, and it was saying, look, if there's any landlords there looking for letting, property management or mini management services, get in contact. The abuse was off the walls, and I sat at home with the wife, and there was comments coming in from Australia and Canada. This spread, and I didn't want to sit back, so I kind of reacted a little bit, but I think that gave it a bit more traction. But yeah, how would you say Instagram a little bit classier?
That's really interesting. And look, there's two things there. Look, first, there's a growing anger. So it really what you're telling me about Facebook tells me you're absolutely not on Twitter or now X, because that's just kind of particularly nasty. So it's not one we recommend for estate agents, really. But in terms of Facebook, look, yes, that does happen. And one of the things we always say to agents is actually tr not to engage, because that's throwing fuel on the fire. And I suppose it comes back to my dad, a dairy farmer, kind of used to have the saying, you can't reason people out of a position they didn't reason themselves into. So your logic doesn't work on social media. So actually, you're better just to ignore and step away from comments like that. But actually, it brings up another one, another issue that I've spoken to Mary Conway, who's the chair of the Property Owners Association, and that Property Owners Association has been in place for 30 years. And even 30 years ago, they knew in Ireland the term landlord is problematic. It is just loaded for Irish people. And that just is universally true, and it's not changing. So actually, they use the language of property owners rather than landlords, because it is an absolutely trigger word for anger online, particularly as the housing crisis deepens. But I would say that actually Facebook at the moment is, I suppose, trying to compete with TikTok to a certain amount. So we see huge changes in the algorithm. So for a couple of years, we'd almost written off Facebook. And then almost overnight, we went from maybe having 20,000 views a month to having a 750,000 or 1 million. And so now we'd consistently be seeing that. And actually, we're in a really interesting space where we see Facebook's reach for a similar size audience is overtaking TikTok's, because TikTok doesn't favor brands as well as it favors people, which I understand, but it's a reality that estate agents will find. So the individuals within a company might do better than the company itself. So I would just say, I don't want estate agents to be put off from using Facebook or Meta now, because of comments like that. That unfortunately, nasty comments do happen on social media, and you just essentially need to build some resilience yourself and train your team in how to deal with this in a very non-confrontational way. And we would say just not engaging is the best thing there. But you do need to follow where the leads are coming from. And if you say it's not about the views, it's about the contacts, it's about where you get your inquiry, whether it's to view or not. And if that's Instagram for you, then by all means lean into it. But I wouldn't rule out the other, because there's great reach. And in terms of sellers, we know that the Facebook generation tends to be a little bit older, so they tend to be property owners who
Yes.
might be interested in potentially selling. So talk to me about your pipeline kind of over the next 12 months. I mean, you mentioned there a few that you've known about that are coming online over the coming weeks. But
Yes.
with new homes at such a shortage, so that means the people who would potentially be selling have nowhere to go. Where do you see your pipeline over the next 12 to 18 months coming from?
Let's see. Pipeline in terms of sales, I'll probably hit the same figure of sales as last year, and I'll be very happy with that actually. It's only myself, so I'm not overly concerned about, let's say, increase in sales by 20%, 30%, or whatever. Last year, I think I had 52 listings. This year, I'm at 20 already. If you go to 60, that's more than enough. It's
Yeah.
just me and for me to look after clients the way I want to and be on the end of the phone whenever they ring, I get back to them on the day, whenever. That's it. Yeah, it'll be difficult,
Yeah.
but let's say with lovely houses coming on, let's say there's a 4-bed detached coming on in Ballyhigh, there'll be a large one coming on in Fianna towards the end of the summer. I think is a 10 where their services agreement signed.
Yeah.
So if I pick up maybe another 10, I'll be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's kind of a good approach to take. So
Yeah.
let's talk about the rentals market, because this is really what caught my attention when you were posting about some of the rental markets you're getting. Quite frankly, you're achieving prices in North Kerry that we generally only see in the Greater Dublin area. So just explain to me, or maybe tell us a little bit about the types of properties that you're dealing with. Do you deal with lettings and management?
Letting management and mini management, yeah.
Okay.
So, with lettings there, as I said before, we started this off at the first week in January. I had a feeling this year was going to be kind of tough, you know. So just said, let's put the focus on rentals for definitely January and February. No, that's dragged into March, but it's all worked out well. But there's so many landlords out there just afraid of losing absolute control of their property that if I'm talking to them, they're there, look, we'll rent it for 6 months or we'll do it for 9 months. And it was just trying to figure out how are we going to find somebody for that amount of time and know that they're going to move on, because once you're in there a minute after midnight on the 6 month, you're in there indefinitely.
Yeah.
So went down the corporate letting route and it's working fantastic. So I've houses in Fianna, for example, rented to construction workers who are working up on the MTU campus. They'll be there for a certain number of months. After that, then there's going to be a new tranche coming in, and we're renting as well on licenses as opposed to leases in most cases. But out in Listowel, there's a home there. There's another construction body who are going to be working on Tarver Power Station. They're moving in this Sunday, actually, a former B&B. There's ex Airbnbs as well, which I thought everybody involved in Airbnb was loving it, but I've taken 8 houses out of Airbnb this year, and it's because of having the corporate rate. Now, Airbnb people are saying, "Oh, look, we're making nearly as much in a week as we are in a month during the summer," but the corporates might pay maybe a bit of a premium, but it's still a fair price. So when you hear, let's say, 3,000 for a 5 or 6 bedroom home, it might sound crazy, but if you've got 6 staff in there, in lovely homes, no, by the way, and nice landlords, that's 500 per room. It's not crazy. There's students who are paying 650 for single beds and 725 for double beds. So it's all in moderation. It might sound wacky, 3,000, but there's homes rented in Listowel and Tralee at that. No, I never thought that you did hit those figures, but they are good value as well when you've 6 or maybe 7 staff in there and they're well looked after down the road from work, and yeah, nice big gardens and everything with them. So.
I think it's interesting when you talk about the motivations of the property owners in that case. So as in they're having difficulty getting homes back. So is that based on, is that a fear or is that based on experience? I mean, is there a difficulty with overholding?
Okay, there is, and look, thankfully now, in since yeah, when did I come out of college? 2007. No matter who I was working with, very few troublesome tenants. Now I've had two that didn't go according to plans in setting up down here, but you hear horror stories, and there's a few homes there now that I'm managing. I've been asked to come in almost as the middleman to be between the tenant and the landlord. They're at loggerheads now. For example, there's one no park there. And we're with the RTB. Is it 14 or 16 months? It's crazy. Yeah,
And
waiting
but
for that.
what's the situation? Is it that rent is not being paid? Is it that the homeowner wants their home back?
It was a bit of that, a bit of antisocial behavior, falling out with neighbors and stuff. But the frustration and the emotion is just built because of the wait with the RTB. It's, yeah, bananas. Like it took 6 different correspondences from the landlord for me to be added as an authorized agent.
Look,
Crazy.
the RTB is definitely having, it's putting logistical challenges in an already challenging marketplace. I'm interested in what you said about the Airbnb. So you've taken on 8 Airbnbs
8
or
this
properties that
year.
were previously, like that's a huge figure for the area that you're talking about. Is part of this driven by fear that, you know, there's been again a lot of policy kite flying around essentially regulating Airbnbs, making every Airbnb, even for 2 weeks, in use for 2 weeks of the year, requiring planning permission. You know, is there a fear around hosting your offering your property through Airbnb? And we should say Airbnb and other short-term letting
And others,
platforms.
yeah. That hasn't been said necessarily, but it's just looking again. People, certain landlords don't know what's going to happen in 2 years' time, or 3 years' time, or 4 years' time. So let's say that's one problem for the RAS scheme as well. You know, you've lovely tenants, they're on RAS, but a landlord, especially with an election coming up, people are fearing the worst. So this is a great way of doing it with the corporates. Rent a home maybe for a 6 month period. Now another 6 month period. We know what's going to have happened in the next election. Maybe they'll go back to Airbnb. Maybe they'll go long term if things were more favorable. But something has to happen where if a tenant moves in and they aren't fulfilling the basics, getting on with neighbors, paying the rent, keeping the house, you should not have to wait a year and a half.
When I think about the North Kerry market, you know, Tralee, because of Tralee IT, which of course is Munster TU Kerry, you know, we know that has been growing year on year on year, you know, so therefore creating demand. Tralee always had a certain amount of demand for student accommodation. What does that look like now in 2024?
2024, so let's say pick one development there, Kerry Leaf Student Village. There I'd look after is it, I think, yeah, 10 or 11 homes up there, but there's four or five of those pre-let for next September already, and the next couple of or the remaining homes will be filled there. I think we've two rooms in some of them, three rooms full in others. So they're being filled up, and we're not actually putting the rent up this year in
Okay.
most, yeah,
And are
not in.
they 9 month rentals?
So some are 9 and some are 10. Now, some landlords down here for student accommodation, student specific in other developments, are asking me to go out with leases now, propose a 12-month lease because they're hearing that that's what's happening in Cork or Dublin. But look, in a lot of these cases, student specific, the students have different rights, so they could sign a 12-month lease and just give a month's notice and they're out anyway. So yeah, it's best to be fair because with the 9 month rental, those homes are going to be rented to the corporates who are going to be construction workers up in MTU or the new Estelis building and stuff like that. So there might be a bit more hassle for me in doing two lets in a year for the landlord as opposed to one. But yeah, ultimately the house is going to be looked after. Yeah.
Do you know what? But I think it's interesting with the student accommodation because my understanding is that there is policy pushback on trying to create 12-month leases for students that essentially they should be 9 months. But if you're looking at purpose-built student accommodation, if they're accommodating a 9 month or even 10 month lease, then if they have the ability to be able to do Airbnb or short-term lets for 2 months of the year, you know, that might be a way to again supplement the income. But that's the purpose-built student accommodation.
Yes.
Tralee oh, has always had students in the private rented sector, as in, you know, dealing with individual homeowners. And does is that still happening to any great extent?
It is, and let's say people now who are on welfare can rent out rooms in their home as well. So that is taking people, but a lot of students would rather their own space as well. So let's say even if two students moved out of one house in December, they just didn't settle in college or whatever. If you put the ad up, there's just people running to get out of digs or whatever and get in with other students. Yeah.
I suppose, Tommy, finally, because I'm conscious of your time, you know, market aside, I'm really interested in the journey that you've taken going from kind of a Dublin-based estate agency that was being part of a larger team in an absolutely, you know, what could only be described as a hotspot for first-time buyers and families trading up and down to go to the Home Office in Ardfert. You know, how has that kind of journey been for you in terms of your property education?
Well, in Dublin, I loved it. So let's say coming out of college, I would have gone working in Savills. So I would have worked with the best of the best, but there's Mark Reynolds, there was Cathal Kelly, there was Jesus, Donal Keller, just the best of the best. Would have when the downturn hit, it was time to pack the bags and head off traveling, came back, went working with Newcombe Estates. But after that, went working with Lynham Auctioneers. And yeah, that's basically it was great working there. That's one reason I moved out of Dublin. I suppose I wouldn't have been competing with her, but yeah, learned from the best, and the time was right. I kind of took a little bit of time off as well once I moved down, just let's say with young kids or whatever, but I was nearly burnt out as well, so it was nice to come down here and take it handy. And there was no pressure then as well, starting up. So again, as people would have said, you're going to want to pack it in after 6 months, after 12 months, after 18 months, and once 3 years come, you'll be laughing. And it basically worked out that way. It's easy. And again, it's managing expectations. Very few clients, but very good clients. Yeah.
And look, that's the foundation of any business, irrespective of the sector. And I suppose in terms of your decision making, did you make a conscious decision to stay independent? Did you consider a franchise? Did you consider any of the property networks?
So no, I was always going to set up, keep it my own way. But let's say it's Tommy Carmody's property house. If down the line somebody else wants to get involved with a franchise, there's you have the property house aspect of it as well. So it could go that way. I have been approached by franchises, but no, it restricts market. So let's say I'm doing work in Tralee and Listowel. If you were to get involved with the wrong franchise, you're kind of being told stay here. Whereas I'll go where the best clients are, basically.
Yeah, no, and that's fair enough. So so that's telling me that Property House might be our property network or estate agency network of the future, possibly.
It could be, or let's say if lettings were to keep going, that could be split up as well. But
Yeah. Are these things you think about now, just in terms of being so new into the business? You know, in any other business, you're certainly groomed to think about your exit strategy at the time of startup. Are these things that you consciously thought, okay, where's the value going to be in the business in terms of the valuation of the business? In terms of a growth strategy, is
There
it something that
is,
you want to grow?
because let's say you can maybe try and sell off an agency with sales or whatever, but let's say I personally wouldn't buy a sales agency because you could sit back and get the houses that are ultimately going to come to the market for
Yeah.
free anyway. If you're good enough, you'd get the business. But with the you, it's easier to put a valuation maybe on the rental, and the rental aspect of the business here, but
Very good.
still
So
got 16 years left anyway. So that's it.
any tips for people who might be thinking of starting out and going out on their own?
I'd say go do it. Go do it.
Just have the
So
patience.
have the patience. That's it. But let's say it's tough enough, but
Yeah.
getting there. And look, if you are coming, if you have been working away, you could plan it, whereas that you're saving up a little bit just to have the buffer to know that there might not be a decent wage for 2 years. But that's okay.
Do you know what? As somebody who started my first business nearly a quarter of a century ago with a full credit card, I think saving and being a little bit prepared is really good advice. So thank you. And I suppose finally, before we finish up today, for any sellers who are kind of considering putting their home on the market over the next year, but they're a little bit nervous about where they're going to go to, whether they're looking to size up or down or right size, whatever it is they're looking to do, if they want to stay locally, what kind of advice do you have for them?
I'd suggest that they just is simply get in contact with me. I'd call out to the host. There's no pressure or anything like that. And I'd go through all the options. It might be a thing that they might have to wait a little while, or I might be aware of a home coming up. But basically, I could go out, give them a market appraisal, give them a nice valuation that they can stand over as well. I'm not sure if I've sold below asking or below valuation since I set up maybe once. But
Yeah.
it's important that they know what they'd have to spend as well, because if they're moving from a big 4 or 5 bedroom home, that property in the last year probably hasn't gone up as much as the home that they are looking to move into. It's probably jumped
Yeah.
considerably.
Yeah. Very good.
But
Okay. No,
no, meet up.
that's some helpful advice, and I'll add one more to that, and that is maybe to keep an eye on your Instagram feed as well,
That's
because
it.
you're very good at sharing the trends there, which we love to see and we really welcome. So thank you so much. And look, congratulations on all that you have achieved over the last 3 years. I think we're in for a challenging time ahead, but I just don't know, is there ever any other way? In the last 23 years, I've yet to find a way that isn't challenging. So if you find it, please tell us about it. But genuinely, best of luck going forward. That was Tommy Carmody of Tommy Carmody's Property House. My
Thanks
thanks
very
to
much,
produce
Karen.
You're very welcome, Tommy. My thanks to producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. Also, huge thanks to our show sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's most visitor property website. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Property Roundup. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.